each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon. This is Mary Hallin Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it is my privilege to be sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ. And some of you know that our Father Anthony has been struggling with some health concerns, and he's going to be having a procedure this week. And we would really ask you to keep him in your thoughts and your prayers, particularly that everything will go well and smoothly and that the Lord will grant him a complete return to health. So if you could keep that intention in your prayers, those of us at the Winds of Change family would be very grateful. Well, this week, for those who work in the pro-life movement, as my husband used to say, it respects everybody's life but ours, right? So, because you're so busy during the week of January 22nd in particular, but the weeks leading up to it, because that was the day of the Supreme Court's abortion decisions, Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. And there is, of course, the incredible event in Washington, D.C., the March for Life, which will take place this year on Friday, January 19th. But for those of you who cannot make the trip for because you have small children or for health or for work reasons, there's an event in Chicago that tries to capture this national spirit that's so alive and vibrant in Washington, but with a little bit of a local flavor, and that is the March for Life Chicago. And I am so pleased to be joined today for the next hour by Dawn Fitzpatrick, who is the president of the March for Life Chicago Board of Directors. Dawn, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a great conversation because this event has just grown and grown and grown over the last couple of years. And I remember, you know, when it was being planned out of somebody's basement, and we literally in the early days would have maybe 100 people who would come. And now we have almost, gosh, 8,000 to 10,000.
Am I in the ballpark over what we've had so far? Okay. But I would say that we could get there this year for sure.
Well, the weather's certainly going to cooperate, it looks like, this year. So.
Well, it might be like around 20, which is better than negative 10.
Yes.
Today feels like
year.
A heat wave.
Right.
You know, it's 35 or something. It feels like a heat wave. But
everybody, I think anybody who goes to, whether you go to the March in Washington or the March in Chicago, you are not expecting balmy weather. But some years we have been blessed with beautiful weather, and other years we have been given a spirit of sacrifice and pilgrimage in having to. I remember the minus 10 year I was there with my
kids.
Like
2 years ago.
Yeah,
it was so
brutal,
cold.
Man. And I'm used to it, but boy, my youngest was only 6 or 7 at the time, and so we had to keep taking her inside to do little breaks with her because even then, the number of people, that's fair.
That was the year we got almost 6,000.
Right,
so
when it was minus 10.
We were amazed.
Yeah, and that, to me, is always so edifying to see the commitment that so many people, especially people with young children and people who are elderly, you know, nothing really keeps them away from coming to that march. So.
Well, and it's, you know, it's so exciting because everybody there is full of joy.
Right.
And it's just a wonderful, fun-loving experience where everyone comes together to show love. There's nothing angry about it. I mean, there are some protesters, but we kind of keep them across the street.
Right. Yeah. And there's not, but, and you know, that group of counter-protesters shrinks Mm-hmm. With every given year, it gets smaller and smaller, where there really is like a fly buzzing around or something. You know, they're really not much of a presence anymore, nor is it very large. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because for those of you who have never been to the Chicago March for Life and you're worried it's going to have like a protest feel to it, that is not at all what this event is. So let's go back, Dawn, kind of to the beginning. So as I mentioned, the Chicago March for Life has actually been around in a variety of different formats for probably 20 years. But within recent years... Mm-hmm. It kind of got a rebranding, if you will.
It did. 5 years ago, actually, Cardinal George decided he wanted to take an effort to really make it, you know, a name,
right?
The March for Life Chicago, rather than some people getting together and, you know, walking down Michigan Avenue. They said, why don't we put this on the map?
Right.
So that's what happened. And a bunch of pro-life organizations got together and collaborated to form what we have now is the March for Life Chicago. Interestingly enough, though, it's grown at least by 1,000 people every year since then, and sometimes it's doubled each year. And in the past year, we actually incorporated, so we're now a nonprofit organization.
Oh, so you're separate 501(c)(3).
Yes, we are.
That is marvelous. And you know what's what's interesting about, you know, I think the Chicago March for Life, and you know, there are different ways in which different communities mark the sad anniversaries of the Roe and the Doe decisions from the Supreme Court. The March for Life on the West Coast March Walk for Life, has always been a big thing. But of course, they're so far away from D.C. It was always sort of, it would be unusual if any of them were ever to make that trip. Right. But in Chicago, you know, we're geographically just far away enough that, you know, the bus ride is 24 hours easily. And, you know, you're laughing like someone who has taken the bus ride with the teenagers. And the kids love it. For the adults, it's a little more of a grueling trip. So we're just far enough that it, you know, to make that drive or that bus trip is not easy, especially if you have little ones.
Right.
And, you know, flights, sometimes you can find a cheap flight, sometimes you can't, and then you're looking at accommodation. So it's a real commitment, unless you have a high schooler who's going with a group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a significant amount of investment for a local family to make. So for us, it's wonderful that people can be in solidarity with those who are going to be in Washington a few days later. Yet by the same token, you know, it's taken on sort of our own local Chicago flavor to it. And as you mentioned, it's a very, very much a family event, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, not only that, but we are not just for Chicago. The March for Life Chicago has become a Midwest event.
Right.
We do have representatives coming from Wisconsin, from Michigan, from Iowa, from Missouri.
Indiana. Sending a big contingent.
Yes. And actually, Indiana, the Bishop of Gary, who is Bishop Hying, is actually coming to speak, as well as Cardinal Supich. So, you know, they're very interested. And this is, it's just expanding. It's becoming a great thing.
Well, I was up in October for Respect Life Month. I was up in Wisconsin, and I was speaking at the Catholic parish attached to the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And there were a number of people from Wisconsin went right to life. And at the reception afterwards, they're all saying, oh, we'll see you in Chicago in January. We're all planning to be there. This was a big group of people. And they were all very much, I mean, they already had two buses rented. They are all in to come to the march. So that's really, you know, it's very encouraging to hear the enthusiasm. And I think in large part, it is because of, as you mentioned, the joyful family sort of focused feel that the whole event has to it, but also because, you know, every year there's such compelling speakers. Why don't you, let's kind of, and then there's other events, of course, that's
right.
You can make
a
whole weekend out of this, folks. So this does not just have to be you coming and marching. There's all sorts of activities. So let's walk through the weekend, starting with Saturday, and then we'll go through Sunday's events and we can talk about the different things that are going on. So let's start the night before.
The night before.
Yes.
We have something called
Saturday,
the Rose Dinner.
January 13th.
Yes.
Right.
So they do this in Washington, too, where they have a Rose Dinner the night of the march in Washington. But ours is the night before, and it will start at 6 o'clock at Petterino's, which is on Dearborn Street, right not far from Federal Plaza. And we will have, actually, the march's keynote, Ramona Trevino, will be at the Rose Dinner as well.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Ramona. I know a little of her story, but just to in case our listeners might really want the opportunity to hear someone like her in person.
Right, and I think if you really want to hear a lot from her, that come to the Rose Dinner.
Right, because she's going to give a real talk.
She'll give well, we're going to do a whole, like, sit-down and interview kind of format.
Oh, so
I'm going to be the MC.
Okay,
and she and I will be sitting on a little riser and have a nice little you know, coffee room chat kind of thing.
Okay. Just so, like we're doing now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, so,
complete with coffee.
So tell us a little bit about who Ramona is.
Okay. So she is a former director of Planned Parenthood.
Okay. A clinic director.
Yes.
Okay.
In Texas. And she worked in a referral clinic. So they didn't do abortions on site.
Okay.
She was a cradle Catholic, but kind of fallen away, not really practicing. But she did consider herself pro-life. So she thought that she was covered because she wasn't in a site where they were doing abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when she first learned about Planned Parenthood, she didn't even know they did abortions. So she's one of those people that thinks they were just there for women,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
So she went into it thinking, well, gosh, here's a job opportunity. And as a matter of fact, she applied to be like a receptionist and they hired her as the director. So,
wow.
So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And
did she think that was intentional? Do you know if she thought that was that intentional because she was a Catholic and they wanted?
I don't know. That's
okay.
Something I can ask.
Interesting.
Her,
yeah. Because you know? I know sometimes they do. They strategize. Planned Parenthood
mm-hmm.
does that way. They intentionally will choose people who sort of give them an answer to people who say, well, the Catholic Church is pro-life. They'll say, well, look, we have
this Catholic woman here.
Yeah.
Right? And it could have been. I don't know. And that's a good thing I can ask her
okay.
in the little interview.
Yeah, tell her so, I want to know. Tell
yeah.
her Mary wants to know. Okay.
So, but, you know, her perspective is really an interesting one because she saw them grooming young girls to have abortions, to be sexually active, to be very promiscuous. And then they were there to, you know, wipe up the floor kind of when they had a problem, you know,
right.
and then just to clean up their mess. So, but, and then they would be training these young girls to keep coming back and taking their services.
Right.
So she has a really interesting perspective on that. And one of the things that she was saying was it really started to bother her as her daughter grew older and she realized that some of these girls were her daughter's age, you know.
Right.
And here they were teaching them, you know, how to use all kinds of birth control and what to do. And, you know,
yeah.
and then she also says that they would bill every service imaginable to the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, totally unnecessary tests and things like that.
Right, right.
So,
and then the way that they calculate that, so if your daughter comes in for, say, you know, a pap smear, they'll do a pap smear and then a couple of other tests, and they'll mark those all down as separate services,
mm-hmm.
bill the insurance company. And then if at one point they, you know, attach an abortion onto one of those services, the abortion is just one of 15
right.
services. So
they drew
how,
a little blood.
Right.
They did a little
so
test.
That's how they
did
say,
a pregnancy test. Yeah.
Right. Abortion is only 3% of all our services.
Right.
Well, they do that because they will mark down as a service everything from answering the phone to, you know, walking you to the door afterwards was a quote unquote service. And that's how they're able to get away with that statistic that
right.
even the Washington Post had pointed out when they do that. You know, that truth tester, they called uh-huh. their Pinocchio test.
The Pinocchio test,
yeah,
and they didn't pass it.
No,
that was a couple years
Planned Parenthood
ago,
did not pass the Pinocchio test on their services. So anyway, well, let's get back. So Ramona Trevino will be at this Rose Dinner, which I have had the pleasure of being with, Dawn, and having you, you know, interview me as well at that. It's a lovely, lovely event. Are tickets still available for that?
They are. They
okay.
are. And you could either go to speakoutillinois.org or to the marchforlifechicago.org, and you could find your way to those tickets.
Okay.
And they're $75. It's a lovely dinner, a lovely evening.
Right.
Or if you wanted to buy a whole table, you can actually get the tickets for $70 if you buy a whole table.
But. Okay, super. Okay, well, great. That's you can go to speakoutillinois.org
mm-hmm.
to find tickets for that for the dinner on Saturday night at Pettorino's Restaurant downtown on Dearborn Street. And when we return after our break, we'll continue our conversation with Dawn Fitzpatrick, who is the president of the Board of Directors of the March for Life Chicago. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And my guest for this hour is Dawn Fitzpatrick, who is the president of Chicago March for Life, or March for Life Chicago, I believe is the formal name, which is a separate 501c3 organization in our area that really exists solely for this upcoming weekend.
That's right.
And it's not just a march. There's a multitude of events that surround the march simply because, A, so many people are coming to it, and people come in from out of town, and so there is a whole variety of different activities that you can become involved in or, you know, participate in, depending on your level of interest and, you know, how much time you have. And one of them is the event that occurs the evening before, which is the Rose Dinner, which is also similar to a Rose Dinner that's held in Washington the night before the D.C. March. And we were just talking about the speakers for the evening. One of them will be Ramona Trevino, who was a former Planned Parenthood clinic director. And the other is whom?
Well, there's actually two more.
Two more. Okay.
Yes, we have Greg Schleppenbach coming from the USCCB Pro-Life Secretariat. And he is like their lobbyist, essentially, for pro-life issues, you know. So he's going to come and talk to us about what's going on in the country and what's on the legislative front as far as nationally with the pro-life efforts.
Right.
And so he's coming from D.C., which is very exciting. And then we also have Ralph Rivera, who is the lobbyist for Illinois Right to Life Action.
Okay.
So he works in Springfield most of the time. And so he'll be able to tell us what's going on. And especially, you know, with this just travesty that's House Bill 40 and you know, people are probably wondering about what happened with SB
1564. Yeah.
No, 1564.
Right. Sorry. Two different. But yeah, we have now SB or HB 40, right?
HB 40.
Which was signed by Governor Rauner, unfortunately, a few months ago.
Yep.
And has gone into effect now, which is going to permit publicly funded abortions for all 9 months for any reason for any woman in the state of Illinois who is on Medicare or who is a state employee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole lot of people. So the impact of that is going to be incredible.
Right. And so, you know, and of course, Thomas More filed a lawsuit that was dismissed. So they're filing an appeal now.
Okay.
On that. So,
but it's gone into effect.
It has.
The law's in effect. Yeah.
So as of January 1st, we're paying for abortions out of our tax dollars.
Yeah.
So, in
a state that's already close to being bankrupt and people are fleeing our state, all of a sudden now we found money to, you know, pay for abortions.
Between Ralph, you know, talking about some of that and what's going on, and Greg will be talking about, you know, what's going on in Washington, because there's a lot of action there too, especially with the current administration and the Congress that is changing the face of our pro-life issues, certainly
right.
a little bit.
So
he'll be able to address that.
Excellent, because you know that is something that unless you're sort of a policy geek or a wonk, you know, you might not be as familiar with, you know, what the granular information that's coming out of either Springfield or D.C., right? And people like Greg and like Ralph, your two other speakers, live and breathe this all day long. Mm-hmm. So, and for many people, sadly, you don't realize that these laws are going into effect until you wake up and either see it in the paper or somehow it affects you personally in some way. And then you're like, wait, when did this happen? So,
exactly.
So it's, and you know what? A lot of people, they don't have time, right? So it's really, I think that's really helpful at a dinner like this, which is a lovely, nice, relaxed event, but that where people can learn and, mm-hmm. and learn what they can do personally as citizens. Either to, you know, support particular pro-life legislation or to, you know, oppose that legislation that continues to erode, you know, a culture of life in our society. You know, I'm also aware of course, the bill that is going to be going to the U.S. Senate, which is the Pain Capable Unborn Child Awareness Act, which I think is a fantastic piece of legislation where I think there's a lot of consensus among people that, you know, once an unborn human being can feel pain, and we have documented evidence from neonatologists that they can at about the 20-week mark, right? Probably sooner, but we know for certain, that's just not disputable scientifically, that, you know, either you give those children pain control before you abort them, or you ban their abortion altogether.
Yep. Well, you know, it's interesting because if you read Abby Johnson's story, she's the one that wrote Unplanned, and she was also a center director for Planned Parenthood. She talks about the thing that really opened up her eyes was that she was asked to assist on an abortion, and they do an ultrasound while they're doing it. She saw the baby trying to get away from the vacuum.
From the, right.
Oh, my
gosh. Trying to move from the, You know, that's an incredibly, you know, once you've had that kind of personal experience, it's very hard to go back from there, isn't
it?
You know, and I had a nephew who was born just a year ago at 22 weeks gestation. And, you know, viability is not really considered there until about 23 weeks. But he was born at 22 weeks. He was breathing on his own. So they did intervene to keep him alive. They didn't have to, you know, help him to breathe. And he celebrated his first birthday in August. And,
Isn't that amazing?
Was perfectly fine and no health impact at all. So, you know, you see, and this is what I believe Sandra Day O'Connor said in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, is that Roe versus Wade is actually on a collision course with itself. Because as gestational viability gets pushed back and back and back by science, yet our law still allows abortion for all 9 months for any reason. At some point, there has to be some kind of readjustment between what the law allows and what science is telling us, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll have these wonderful speakers at the dinner. You'll be the MC, which will be marvelous, marvelous. She'll be fantastic. And is there anything that happens after the dinner? Do people go out and socialize or?
Well, they usually just kind of disseminate on, do their own thing. We do have a room block of rooms at the Courtyard River North downtown.
Okay, marvelous.
Which is, you know, and it's been very popular this year. Last year was the first time we did this. And now people are looking for rooms. So, you know, so I think this is getting to be a much more popular event and people are looking to come in from out of town.
Fantastic.
And I know just myself living in the West suburbs, it's such a busy weekend. I'm staying downtown.
And I don't blame you for doing that. No, it really does make a difference, especially when you're going from one event to the next. So the next morning, then there's a number of different things that are going on.
Oh, all kinds of things. So at 8 o'clock, the doors open at the Francis Xavier Ward Auditorium, which is next to Holy Name Cathedral.
Okay, so that's at State and Chicago Avenues in Chicago. For those who know, Francis Xavier Ward is the Catholic school attached to Holy Name Cathedral. So at 8 a.m., the doors are going to open.
And we're having a youth rally for life, kind of like what they do in D.C.
Right.
So we have Greg and Lizzie, who are entertainers from Dumbox Ministries.
Okay.
And they'll be coming and leading that
And what ages is that for? You say,
well, you know, it's probably good for teens, but families are welcome and college students, you know.
So like 6th, 7th, 8th graders would get something out of
they
this
would,
as well.
They would. If you happen to know a middle schooler, or a high schooler, or a college student, come. Or if you're like my husband who just likes these things.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's as much for him as anybody.
Right. Oh, no, you gain, you know, you do pick up so much energy and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you know, edifying to see so many young people coming together. And they, you know, that's the kind of nice thing about young people on this issue is that, you know, when you do share with them, you know what it is, if you're trying to do that in a delicate sort of way, they're so horrified. I mean, their children's natural instinct is to want to protect people who are weak and vulnerable, isn't it?
You know? Definitely.
So it's really beautiful to see them all on fire for this sort of thing. So, so what's going to happen? So the doors open. Is there tickets?
Yeah, so tickets are $10, and you can get them if you go to respectlifechicago.org.
Okay.
And just follow down to the march or the Youth Rally for Life. And there's more information there about Greg and Lizzie, about the actual event. And you can get a ticket for $10. Now, we also have a lunch option. If you'd like to buy a box lunch, then you can order a box lunch for $5.
Oh, excellent.
So, because what I found is nothing's open downtown Chicago on Sunday.
Yeah. Other than McDonald's, maybe, and then Starbucks. Yeah. So there's not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of places to go to eat.
Right.
You know, so that is true. So that's a good point. So people can buy a box lunch if they need to.
Right. And we will be also right after the youth rally, there's a Mass for Life with Cardinal Stupich at the Holy Name Cathedral at 11 a.m.
Okay.
So
that'll be the Sunday Mass then.
The Sunday Mass.
Okay.
And it's also a Mass for Life. And we're inviting everyone. So this is the Archdiocesan Mass for Life.
Okay.
And there'll be other priests and deacons there celebrating and being there on the altar with the Cardinal. And we will do a special memorial procession for all of those killed either through abortion or homicide in 2016.
Okay.
And believe it or not, that's up to like 39,000. So we have almost 38,000 for abortions, and then over 1,000 murders as well. So we'll be processing in memorial with flowers for that at the Mass as well.
That will be very beautiful and then very moving. You know, when you see that each one of those like flowers, actually represents a human being. It's very,
And we'll have one for 1,000 human beings. Otherwise,
it would
go on all day.
Yeah, well, that even is more, that's a more striking visual than that even. It really does try to put it in perspective with you, for you rather. So, okay, so then we have the March for Life, but then simultaneously over at the Union League Club.
Yes.
Will be Aid for Women's March for Life brunch and Mass. So Aid for Women is a pregnancy center and maternity home. In fact, there's two maternity homes that are located in the Chicago area that provide housing and, mentoring and medical care and job training and, and basically everything that, a young woman needs to carry her child to term. So every year for the last several years, this has become an exceptionally popular event. There is a Mass at 10 a.m. at the Union League Club, and the presider for that liturgy is going to be Father Francis Hoffman, who is the executive director of Relevant Radio, a priest of Opus Dei, who's a very well-known Catholic speaker and author and radio personality. He's just a tremendous, tremendous person. He is going to be the primary celebrant of this Mass that begins at 10 a.m. at the Union League Club. And then the guest speaker is going to be Gloria Purvis, who's an African-American woman who is the national talk show host for EWTN's morning radio show, Morning Glory. And she's just an amazing woman and has an incredible personal testimony to share. Someone was telling me, I was at a conference last week and bumped into somebody who said, oh, I see that Aid for Women got Gloria Purvis to come and speak. She said, I was at a conference in Minnesota when she gave her testimony and there was a standing ovation that went on for 5 minutes at the end. So I've never heard Gloria give her testimony. I've been interviewed by her, but I don't know her that well. So that's really going to be, a terrific opportunity for people. If you want to hear something really inspiring, have a delicious breakfast at the Union League Club, get to meet Father Rocky, get to pray with him. I will be your master of ceremonies for that event. You can hear me come and recycle some of my stale old jokes, meet my children. Because it's a private club, it is a ticketed event. It is $65 for adults, $30 for children ages 4 to 12. There are table sponsorships that are still available. However, I would caution listeners, if this is something you want to go to, this event sells out every year. And in fact, last year we had to turn away 75 people at the door. So there are tickets. Yeah, so don't wait. There may or may not be a ticket available if you show up that morning and want to go. If you really want to get in to meet Father Rocky, hear Gloria speak, hear me tell bad jokes, I would definitely go online to helpaidforwomen.org and purchase your ticket in advance because it's always sold out. It's a beautiful event. And then any proceeds over and above the cost of the meal go to help Aid for Women's pregnancy centers and the two maternity homes that we operate. And all women who come to Aid for Women for services, for help and assistance, are never charged a dime. Everything is free, and that includes their housing. They can stay with us as long as they need to get back on their feet and to create a life of dignity and independence for themselves and their child. So that is the Sunday morning, January 14th brunch, 10 a.m. Mass, 11 o'clock meal at the Union Lee Club, $65 for adults, $30 for children. So any other events going on that morning?
Well, there's a number of masses all over the city, too. If one of those two masses aren't convenient for you, there are some at other times around the city. And
is there a place on the Chicago March for Life website that people can go to find that?
You can go to the marchforlifechicago.org and look for Masses for Life, and then those are all listed there.
Okay.
And each mass has a certain theme, too.
So, beautiful.
And at different times of the morning so that whatever works for people.
So Sunday morning, there is something for everyone. Okay, when we come back, we'll get into some of the other details about Sunday, January 14th, the day of the Chicago March for Life. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to stanschurch.org. That's stanschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and I've been joined for the last 30 minutes and will be joined for the next 30 minutes by Dawn Fitzpatrick, who is the president of the board of directors for March for Life Chicago, which is our own version here in the Midwest of the big March for Life in Washington, which happens every year around the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton decisions, which took place, of course, on January 22nd, 1973. So in order to give people in Chicago the opportunity to join in solidarity with the people in Washington, Dawn and a really talented and enthusiastic group of people every year plan the March for Life Chicago, which is a separate organization. It's informed by the opinions and help of many different facets of the pro-life community. The pro-life community in Chicago in particular is a very vibrant one and a very diverse one. And there's what I love about the March for Life Chicago is there's so many different voices that come to the table.
Yes, yes. So, you know, it's put together by a bunch of different pro-life organizations just from around the Chicago area. And we have there's 8 board of directors and then a number of other organizations that sponsor us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just tons and tons of groups. And it's just a wonderful thing.
Of all Catholic, Protestant, non-denomational,
yes.
Evangelical, mm-hmm. A lot of times I think people, you know, have this assumption that it's the Catholic Church that kind of runs the pro-life movement. And that just simply is not true. The pro-life movement is so diverse, completely ecumenical. You know, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, I was up at the University of Wisconsin at Madison speaking, and the talk I gave was happened to be at a Catholic facility, but it wasn't a Catholic talk per se. Mm-hmm. And there were some young women who came from pro-life secular humanists, so complete right. pro-life atheists, and they were there, and it yes. was great, and we had a great conversation, and I said, you know, thanks for coming, and, you know, they were so thrilled to be there. So what I love about the pro-life movement is that it is so diverse, and even though we might have very differing opinions on other issues, on this particular issue, we're really united.
Well, and it is interesting that you mentioned that, because I did get an email from somebody who said to me, well, I'm an atheist, but I want to come. And I was like, well, of course you're welcome. You know,
right.
She's afraid that if it was a Catholic event, she wouldn't be welcome. But she would be welcome regardless, whether
right.
it's a Catholic event or it isn't.
Right.
But it's an ecumenical event. It's certainly we welcome everyone.
It's a human rights
yes.
event. It's a human rights event. And so it's not while people who may have a variety of different religious traditions will be present, often with their religious congregations, this is not a religious event per se. And so I think it's helpful to mention, because
yeah.
I don't want anyone to feel as if they would be excluded, if
right.
they would not be welcome. Everyone is always welcome. No one will try to proselytize you. You know, no one's going to try to convert you while you're there.
No.
And so we simply just try to join together in unity. So I know there's a fantastic lineup for speakers. So tell me. So this is so after the morning events, which are completely optional, you can go to them, not go to them. At the March for Life itself, the Chicago March for Life starts where and when, Dawn?
Well, it will all kick off at 2 p.m. at Federal Plaza, which is 50 West Dearborn. And it's right...
Dearborn and Jackson.
Yes.
Right.
So it's right downtown, in the heart of the city. At 2 o'clock, we're going to have a speaker lineup. And then for about 45 to 50 minutes, the speakers will speak. And then we will walk. And it all should be wrapped up by around 3:30 or 4.
Okay. And so the march, how long is, you know, for those who might have mobility issues, mm-hmm. Let's talk about how long the march route itself is.
It's a little over a mile, maybe 1.2.
So you start there at Federal Plaza, mm-hmm. and then you head north on Dearborn.
Yeah.
You go to Randolph. You take a left on Randolph. You go to LaSalle. We loop back around on LaSalle back to Jackson, right?
Right.
So it's about a mile.
Yeah.
A city mile, a big city block.
It is. And you know, we have been really blessed in the last few years because the police are just wonderful and they block off the streets for us.
Yes.
And we pretty much take over while
right.
we're walking because
right.
it's kind of phenomenal when you see how many people are walking en masse, up the street.
It's an impressive
yes,
sight.
It really is.
And again, very, you know, we spoke about this, listeners, at the beginning of the hour, that, you know, this is a joyful family event.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an angry protest. There are not, certainly not on our side, people screaming. We may get some counter-protesters. You do encounter that. However, this event itself is very family-friendly, completely appropriate for young children to attend. They will not hear or see anything that will disturb their young spirits. Absolutely.
Well,
anyone can come.
And we have, you know, a couple of years ago, one of the news outlets reported it as a block party.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. It does take on that tone too well.
Right.
And, you know, in some part, that's because of the presence of the Crusaders for Life. Can
well,
you talk
true.
A little bit
oh,
about
yes.
them? Because everybody waits for the grand entrance every year of the Crusaders for Life.
So this is just a joy-filled group from... St. John Cantius, downtown Chicago, and it's young people, teenagers, young adults that they're into percussion and prayer and singing
and dancing,
and so they come in with their yellow balloons and their yellow outfits and every drum they can find, and it's like having a marching band there.
Right.
And incidentally, we are expecting a marching band as well.
No kidding.
From Carmel High School.
Oh yeah. My goodness, that is wonderful.
So we're really, you know, we're going to be the Tournament of Roses parade before you know it.
Oh my, yeah, well, no, truly. Again, every year there's some new dimension to this that just adds to the, you know, the depth and the breadth of the pro-life community.
Yes.
and the joy. And it's going to be interesting to see the Crusaders for Life head-to-head with the marching band from Mount Carmel. I think that could be fun.
It'll be Carmel.
Carmel, not Mount Carmel. Gotcha.
Right.
Carmel High School. Okay, thank
yeah.
you for that correction. And it would be interesting to see if they have a drum-off or something like that. And listeners, if you're not familiar with the Crusaders for Life, they're They tend to be teenagers, young college students, some middle schoolers. They're known for carrying these big yellow balloons that say life on them. And even at the march in Washington, D.C., they are a known presence. They're a known thing. So it's very cool because they're from Chicago. They're from here. And every year they make some sort of surprise entrance. So no one knows when they're going to show up, what they're going to do. One year they came in on big double-decker buses with the balloons trailing off the buses. And a big cheer grows up from the crowd whenever they're there.
You know, a few years ago they came to our youth rally, and we had it at Ignatius High School. And it was when it was cold, when it was the negative 10 day, and they decided they wanted to march all the way to the march from Ignatius.
Oh, my goodness.
So their whole group with their drums and their balloons came from Ignatius to the march, and that's how they made their entrance.
Wow. That is a commitment. Yikes.
I know.
That's a walk. But, you know, maybe it warmed them up if they were, I think my feet are still cold from that day that we were there. But, well, that's marvelous. So they're always there. But who else? Now, I know there's actually a formal lineup of speakers who speak from the podium. So take us through who's going to be there.
Right. And just so everybody knows, this is not an open mic kind of rally. This is, we've got, you know, professional people coming. Sheila Lagminas from Relevant Radio is our MC.
She's fantastic. Yeah.
So she'll be great. She's up from Relevant Radio. And then our keynote, as we mentioned earlier, is Ramona Trevino from she's a former director of Planned Parenthood who had a conversion, and now she is speaking up against abortion, and she's author of a book called Redeemed by Grace.
Beautiful. So it's a beautiful conversion story. And that's what you find in the pro-life movement. You do not find in the movement for legal abortion is that the number of conversions from one to the other. You don't find people who were, for example, you know, Catholic priests who leave and go and work for Planned Parenthood. You do, on the other hand, find a lot of people from Planned Parenthood who come over who become very active in the pro-life movement.
Right. So she'll be there. And then we also have our own Cardinal Supich, of course. He's quite a public figure here in Chicago. So he supports the march for a lot of reasons. So he'll be there. And Bishop Donald Hying from the Gary, Indiana Diocese is joining us this year. He's coming with a group. And so we knew he was coming. So we invited him to be on the stage with us. He'll have some words for us. We're also will be given a special prayer from the Right Reverend Paul, who's the Orthodox Bishop of Chicago in the Midwest.
Okay.
And we also have Pastor Ed Stetzer, who is from Moody Church, and he's also at Wheaton College.
Oh, that's really? Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're excited about that.
So listeners, if you don't know who he is, the Moody Church in Chicago is really considered sort of the seat, if you will, you know, to use a Catholic term, like the cathedral for the evangelical Christian community. And we've not yet been able to have a presence from them formally.
So this is exciting.
So that is marvelous. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely, I'm so thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, so he'll be there. And a Chicago favorite, Patrick McCaskey, he will be there.
And he is the co-owner, listeners, of the Chicago Bears. And every year, what does he do, Don?
He writes a poem. So he'll be there with his poetry to speak up for life. And he's got a great story, too. He's just a wonderful guy. So, and then afterwards, and this is one thing I didn't mention earlier, another event that day, the Students for Life of America are having an after party with Pat McCaskey
host. Now, how does one get invited to that? that sounds marvelous.
Yeah, well, you could go to the marchforlifechicago.org website and see some more information about that.
Okay.
Or just Google Students for Life of America in Chicago, and you'll find out, you know, you can get tickets for that.
Okay, excellent.
So, and they're going to have like a pizza party, and he'll be speaking to the students.
Oh, fine.
So,
and again, that's really Pat McCaskey of the McCaskey family from the Chicago Bears. The McCaskeys have always been tremendously supportive of pro-life initiatives, and Pat's been a speaker since day one at the march.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he always comes.
He's so supportive. He's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we also have Sarah Storto, who's the vice president of Loyal Students for Life and Students for Life of Illinois, in turn. She'll be speaking. And we will also have someone from that was a client of Aid for Women giving a witness talk.
Hmm. Okay, excellent. So that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Our Congressman Roskam will be there.
Too. Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh, marvelous. So Congressman Peter Roskam, who represents the Western suburbs, and, wow, a whole host of religious and other leaders. Mm-hmm. And how long, you know, for people who are thinking, oh, my goodness, am I going to have to stand here for an hour listening to speeches? How long does that particular part of the march last?
It's 45 to 50 minutes.
Okay.
So everyone's they're speaking quickly. They have some really heartfelt things to say.
Yeah.
Get everybody pumped up just to take the march is what they do.
Oh, marvelous. Okay. So it gets people excited. It gets people, you know, kind of pumped up for the marching part. And then, let's see. Well, I think we're going to go to a break now. Okay. We're going to go to a break now. And when we come back, we'll get into the march itself, how one, you know, can hop into it, what happens then, and then what happens afterwards. Where's the after party? So this is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ, and I've been joined for the last 45 minutes, and now we have for the next 15 minutes. Dawn, I always say this. This hour goes by like the wind.
It's radio time.
It's Winds of Change, and it goes by like the wind. But by Dawn Fitzpatrick, who is the president of the board of directors for the Chicago March for Life, or March for Life Chicago, as it is formally incorporated and known. And this Sunday, January 14th, is going to be what the March for Life board works on literally all year long. I think you guys take 2 weeks off, and then like back in February, you're back at it
we'll
again,
be back
right?
Thinking
for 2019.
About next year,
exactly.
Yeah.
So this event, and you will see if you've never been to it before, put this on your bucket list. It is a fantastic opportunity. It's a beautiful, joyful, happy family event. You will not regret going. You will not regret taking your children to it if you have young children. Everything about it is just, again, happy, joyful, enthusiastic, makes you proud to be part of the pro-life community. And what I love is it reflects the diversity, the breadth of the pro-life movement. And it also, I think, in a variety of different ways, showcases the compassion that the pro-life community has for the pregnant woman and for her unborn child. And that's what I love about it. Like the speakers, every one of them, just filled with compassion. There is not a harsh word towards anyone, even those of us with whom we disagree, and we will sometimes have counter-protesters, but they are either aging out altogether or they just can't get their acts together. I mean, we've had fewer and fewer and fewer every single year.
Well, and the funny thing about those counter-protesters is they're always larger than life wearing the most obnoxious things on their chest.
Right.
And the things they say, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So it becomes really apparent that they're very angry and we're very happy.
Right. And the police, you know? The Chicago police have been fantastic mm-hmm. in terms of really keeping any kind of incident from happening. There's absolutely nothing to be concerned about. It's like being at, you know, a really fun Lollapalooza
yes.
sort of event, and
yes.
everything's joyful and happy. And, you know, you get these people who are very much kept off to the side and away from those who are marching. So, you know, I mentioned that only because people I know who are considering going this year and haven't been before have expressed concern to me. So I simply want for anyone who's listening to make it clear, this is absolutely something you can bring your family to, and you will not regret doing so. Okay, so Dawn just went through the list of the speakers. The March program itself will begin at 1 p.m.
No, 2.
No, sorry, pardon me.
2
p.m. I'm glad you corrected me. At 2 p.m. at Federal Plaza, there'll be some speeches and some, you know, kind of pump you up sort of talks. And at about 45, 50 minutes, so at about 2:45 or so, 3 mm-hmm. o'clock, the march itself will begin. So
yes.
let's talk about that. Who leads, who kicks off the march?
Well, you know, we have a big banner. So, and a lot of times the college students for life will be right behind the banner, and then everybody just kind of fills in. And it, you know, it just kind of happens naturally. People start walking and they all join. And Sheila, of course, will say, okay, let's march, and then we'll go. It's just a great thing.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, you know, to be able to do something like this. The march itself, the actual physical marching part, is not long. It's maybe a block. It like this show, it goes by very quickly. It's over before you know it. And but for people with mobility issues, are there going to be, you know, anything for them, or do they simply wait if they don't want to do the actual walking?
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle? Because I know we have quite a few people who are elderly who like
right.
to come and be part of our events.
Well, so they could either, you know, we've had some people who just wait to be in the back
mm-hmm.
so that they don't feel like they're going to get trampled, which they wouldn't.
Oh, but, no, right.
But you could come. You could
yeah,
wait
this
for
is
the
not
end
a stampede.
And,
it's a march.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's a very orderly and peaceful march.
And oh, you certainly, if you have a wheelchair or something like that, there. I mean, you could kind of be off on the sidewalk. There are a lot of people, though, so it's just something to consider. I think you could come down and decide if you wanted to walk or just wait for us to come back.
Yeah, there's a place where there's some benches out there, I know, in Federal
yes.
Plaza where people could rest for a little mm-hmm. bit if they
mm-hmm.
wanted to. So,
and also new this year, I had a request for a deaf interpreter, so we're working
marvelous.
On that. I've got the request in, so hopefully we'll have somebody there.
Right, marvelous.
So that's exciting.
Right.
And I actually had somebody who told me she was legally blind called today and asked me how she could, where she could tell her service to come pick her up. So we worked something out with her. So,
oh, fantastic.
You know, certainly anybody is welcome. And,
right.
and we definitely will make concessions to make sure you're taken care of.
Right. So if you're a person with any kind of physical challenges and
mm-hmm.
If someone like that is listening and wants to see if you can make accommodations for them, how do they get in touch with you? Just going to the Chicago March for Life website there?
You could, and you could send us an email, or you could ask a question through the Facebook event.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so you know, all are on Facebook
as
well.
We are on Facebook,
that is
and
excellent.
It's a very, very active, chatty event page right now.
Oh, marvelous. Okay, well, I have to go check that out. I've been remiss. I have not.
I think I'm getting, like, you know, 50 notifications a day from the March for Life Chicago. So it's, we have a wonderful webmaster. She's doing a great job, and people are there. They're on it. And
yeah.
we're lots of posting.
Yeah, it's well-monitored.
Yes.
It's a well-monitored page. Yeah. And so, okay, so afterwards, like any big, great, joyful, fun event, there has to be an after party.
Well, and the...
There has to be.
Well, this after party is for students. So that one's... It's going to be at the University of Illinois at Chicago at the Newman Center. And it is a limited ability. So if you want to go,
okay.
you want to go to prolifeamerica.org and get your tickets.
Okay.
And he does. And as I mentioned, you will have a talk from Pat McCaskey, who is the co-owner of the Chicago Bears, and Tom Morrison, who's an Illinois State Representative,
oh,
will be there as well.
Very good. Representative Morrison. Wonderful.
Yes.
And Pat McCaskey. That is fantastic.
So what a fun little intimate after party if you want to get some time with, like, Pat McCaskey and and one of our state representatives. So,
and what's the website for that again, please?
That's prolifeamerica.org. And this is the March for Life after party.
Okay.
It's just $10, and that includes your dinner and materials and certainly listening to the speakers.
And that's important because there is a prolifeamerica.com that's run by Life Dynamics, which is another excellent organization, but a national one and not connected to the march. So this is prolifeamerica.org.
Well, and it happens to be the Students for Life of America.
Excellent. Oh, so that's their page.
Yeah.
Okay, so Students for Life of America. I spoke at one of their conferences back in September. They are a fantastic group of college students. Boy, you know.
Well, and high school students,
and some
too.
That's right. And high school students. And, you know, their motto is, we are the pro-life generation and we will abolish abortion. They will make you encounter some of these kids and you just think, these are kids who believe that they can do this, right? That anything is possible for them. They are fantastic. So that's the after party after the March for Life. And then there's often some sort of, you know, spontaneous, informal gathering spots.
Well,
sure. Watering holes.
I haven't heard of anything this year.
Okay.
But certainly if any of you wants to start something like that, let us know.
Or you can sometimes just follow the crowd to
see where everybody went.
A particular drinking establishment, and you will find lots and lots of people there just having a lovely time. And it's really, it's one of those things where you go to it and you just feel like you're at a giant either. Well, block party, I know you said the news called it that one time.
Right.
You feel like you're at a block party or you're at a neighbor's barbecue because everyone, you will not know a stranger there. And if you are by yourself and you want to come to this, you can come to this and you'll have 10 friends by the time you leave, because it is just that kind of event where no one's excluded. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is kind of brought into this circle of our pro-life family, our pro-life community here in Chicago. So, Dawn, thank you. Again, the Chicago March for Life website is?
It's MarchForLifeChicago.org.
Okay. And the hashtag, for those of you who tweet, is hashtag March, the number 4, Life, Chi, C-H-I. March for Life Chi is the hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who are trying to find information about it on Twitter. And also there's a very active Facebook page for March for Life Chicago. And Dawn, so just in our final minutes here, you've been so helpful and informative in giving us all of the information that we needed to know if we wanted to participate either on Saturday night, the events on Sunday mornings, or the march itself on Sunday afternoon. You've been doing this for a number of years now. How has it impacted you personally, being involved? For those of you who don't know Dawn, she wears a lot of different hats in the pro-life community. She has been a longtime activist, you know, in some other organizations, and she took on this as a sort of a side job. You didn't need one more thing to do, but so tell me.
I think it's such an important thing, because I know from having worked in the church community and taking teens to the March for Life in D.C. that it really is an eye opener, and it's kind of the entry point into the pro-life movement, and it's such a joy. So this is a great way to start to educate people, especially if they don't know a lot about what it means to be pro-life. They could start to get educated. So when I moved here back in 2014. This was something I was kind of, because of my position at the Archdiocese, was on the board for the March for Life. And it just became something that just means so much to me, because I see the joy that it brings to people and how it's growing. And I think that it's really putting Chicago on the map for pro-life work.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially with all of the horrible things happening in Illinois, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what? Again, in particular, this past year, last year in 2017, Governor Rauner, going back on his word, signing into law a bill in Illinois that now publicly funds abortion. In Illinois, for those of you who aren't aware of the sad statistics that surround our state, we already have the highest abortion rate in the Midwest. So every other state around us, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, have all seen their abortion statistics go down. Their numbers go down. Illinois have gone up.
Yeah.
So, and now they will go up. Now that we are paying, you know, it's going to be free for a large segment of the population. It's going to go, I fear, you know, it's going to go up even more. So it is in the midst of that sadness, we have this one moment of joy that I think, A, speaks to politicians and says, we're not going away. The pro-life community isn't going away. Well, unfortunately, we have to go away from the show now, Dawn. But thank you so much to Dawn Fitzpatrick, the president of the Chicago March for Life. Go to marchforlifechicago.org. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter. And we hope to see you on Sunday, January 14th at Federal Plaza at 2 p.m. This has been Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony, here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. What
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that long. Can you see?